Happy to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, casseroles are making a comeback, although for those of us in the Midwest, I don't think they ever went away. And we are going to talk with a guest who knows a whole lot about casseroles. Beatrice Ojikengas, our guest. She teaches cooking classes in her home near Duluth, Minnesota. She does writing, food writing for many publications and newspapers, and she's written over 20 cookbooks. Her latest is the best casserole cookbook ever. So, as we talk with Beatrice, I hope you'll join in. Do you have a favorite casserole? What ingredients do you like to use? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could send us an email, the email address ideas@wpr.org. Beatrice Ojikengas, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Hello.
So, let me ask you this first. Are you on the side of the people who call it casserole, or are you on the side of those who like to say hot dish?
I might be on the side of casserole, I think.
I guess it varies a little bit, doesn't it, depending on what part of the country you're from?
It does. It's like soda and pop.
Okay. Well, how do you define a casserole?
I would define a casserole as anything you'd mix together the ingredients and pop in an oven.
So it in other words, practically anything.
Yeah. It's like a cocktail, you know. A cocktail.
and they seem to be, you know, they were big in the 50s. Why were they so big in the 50s?
I think there's a lot of contributing factors there. I think there was a lot of kind of large advertising movements to help produce cheap food production that kind of led to a lot of quick and easy meals to make for people at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, you can, the cream of mushroom soup, or canned foods, I think, probably made a huge difference. And, you know, I don't really think they ever went away here in Wisconsin or perhaps in Minnesota either. But they seem to be making a comeback across the country a bit. Why do you think that is?
Well, I don't know. It's hard to say why casseroles would be making a comeback in canned goods. I think just their convenience and their shelf life stability allows for a lot of people to purchase them.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And your recipes are a little different from the casserole recipes of the 50s in some ways. Talk about that.
Well, I'm wondering if I'm the wrong person on the call because I don't have any recipes.
Oh.
We might have gotten some numbers mixed up.
Oh, my goodness me. So you are not Beatrice Ojikengas.
I am not Beatrice. I'm Claire. I was trying to do my best to answer about casseroles, but I think we have a little mix-up going on.
Oh, well, Claire, you did, I've got to tell you something. You did a very fine job for suddenly being thrust onto an 18-station network. Oh, my goodness me. Well, I tell you what, we are going to find Beatrice. I think we're going to make it. We are going to make another chance at finding her. Have you ever made a casserole, by the way?
I've made a casserole or two in my days. I have. But I don't know if I'm qualified to to tell the public about if find recipes with them.
Well, you know, you are part of a new first on Wisconsin Public Radio, where I started, at least for, it's a first for me for sure, where I started interviewing somebody and they were the wrong person to be interviewing. Oh gosh. I tell you what, we will, I am going to thank you so much for for being a good sport on this, Claire. And,
of course, and tell Beatrice good luck on her portion of the show.
Yeah, we'll talk to you later, Claire. I think, as a matter of fact, you might be coming up later on in the show, and we'll be talking about sustainability when it comes to eating. What do you think of that? Yeah, she says, yeah, that's probably a whole lot better. But right now, I think we have Beatrice with us. Beatrice Ojakengis, welcome.
Hello.
our phone numbers got mixed up, and we were talking to the wrong person. What do you think of that?
Really?
This is a finely tuned machine we've got here at Wisconsin Public Radio.
Well, it sounds like it. Wow.
Oh, dear.
What did the other person think?
The other person has made casseroles, but she calls them casseroles. What are you? Are you a casserole or a hot dish person?
Well, it's a casserole, of course, because that's what the book has. The best casserole cookbook ever is the name of it, and it says casserole, big red letters across front of the book. So.
And how do you define a casserole?
Well, I defined it actually when I started doing the book. I thought I've got to find out what a casserole is, and it can be the food that's cooked in a certain kind of dish, or the dish that the food is cooked in. So. It's, you know, maybe the Southerners do a better job of that because they call it a covered dish, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's basically it. The word casserole refers to the dish that the food is cooked in, and or the food that's cooked in the dish. So that's a casserole, which opened it up to a whole big bunch of ideas because I thought, oh, well. There's all kinds of things that I've cooked in a casserole, you know, in a covered dish like that. And everything from, I started thinking, well, you know, appetizers can be a covered dish. I have baked breads in a casserole. I have done, hot salads. I've done desserts. And so I thought, okay, well, this means that we can do all different types of foods, you know, and not even be restricted by the fact that it is something that does usually goes into the oven.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And you have 500 recipes in your book. My goodness, there's some really good sounding ones, and we're going to get to those in a minute. I haven't had time, frankly, to try any yet, but I'm going to for sure. But your recipes are, you take the cans out of a lot of those recipes.
I took the cans out of all of them, except that my very first chapter, what I write about are how to replace. See, a lot of people think that a casserole has to start with a cream of something soup. And what I did was I have a whole chapter of replacements for the cream of something soups. And so, if you've got your favorite casserole recipe and you want to use a cream of mushroom soup, I've got a recipe for that. And so then, you know what's in it. and you don't have all that salt and you don't have MSG and you don't have artificial flavors because you're doing it yourself and you know what's in it. So
yeah, it's I looked at those sauces and they're not difficult to make.
No, they aren't. And you know, I did work in the commercial food industry for a while, and boy, all that stuff boils down to real simple stuff. I mean, you know, except they did use a lot of artificial ingredients, they can't be that. They're not difficult. A basic mushroom sauce is easy to make. So is a basic tomato sauce. Basic tomato soup is very simple to make. And a basic chicken broth can be done, and beef broth and vegetable broth. I've got all those recipes in here. So anyway, that was my shtick, because I really hated the idea of having to go out and buy a bunch of cans of something, because you don't really need that.
Yeah. And you prove that in your book, as a matter of fact. And it's kind of nice to have one in the freezer. I often have casseroles in the freezer.
Yeah.
And you have some nice tips, I thought, for freezing casseroles.
Yeah, well, basically you've got to wrap it well so that it doesn't get freezer burned, depending on how long you're going to use it, you know, save it in the freezer. So.
Yeah, and thawing. How do you thaw? In the fridge?
Usually in the fridge, yeah. And like if you want to, you have something that you're making ahead for a party, well, you put it into the freezer, but then like the night before, you might want to take it out and put it in the refrigerator and let it thaw out in the fridge. So
yeah, I think you can save time the day before as well. Just make it the day before. And refrigerate. You have guidelines for that as well.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know if I have that in every single recipe, but basically that's what you can do. Is just mix it all up and put it in the refrigerator and take it out the next day. You know.
Beatrice Ojagingas, our guest today. Her book is called The Best Casserole Cookbook Ever. I've got it right in front of me here, and 500 recipes. I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments about casseroles. And you can join in, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Jill Dedeau is our producer today, Trina LaSousa, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Talking today with author Beatrice Ojagingas, and her latest book is called The Best Casserole Cookbook Ever. Questions or comments, stories to tell relating to casseroles, you can join in. The number's 800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Let's take a call. Joseph in Madison, thanks for joining in.
Yes, I remember a casserole that my dad used to make back in the 50s. And it was made in one of those big bowls back in the 50s that were painted like green or blue. The inside is white. I used to put in ground beef, slices of potato, slices of onion, some tomato sauce, and do that over and over and over again in this big bowl.
Sounds like a good idea.
Slices of potato, because they got kind of, you know, crunchy and from being on top. And I remember that, and I'm wondering if you've ever heard of it, and because of this radio program, I'm going to try to make it again.
Okay. What do you think, Beatrice?
Well, it sounds like a good idea. But, you know, the reason that potatoes get if you have the potatoes on top, they're going to get crunchy because they'll get dry. If you want that, go ahead and do it. But I would prefer to have it all, you know, and so the potatoes would just cook instead of get dry. Mm-hmm. However, that sounds like a good plan. I mean, there's good stuff in there.
No doubt. Joseph, thanks a lot for calling. You know, one of the things that's nice about casseroles is that you can make them a bit ahead so that when, if that's going to be the main, you know, thing that you're going to be serving when you've got, let's say, a get-together party or, you know, a little dinner party or what have you. And what struck me in one of your recipes, the Burgundy beef recipe, I love that idea because you can make that a day ahead.
Yeah. And it only improves when it when you hold it. That's true of a lot of casseroles. It just gets better tasting, especially beef casseroles. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can make it a day ahead and cook it a day ahead. And then when everybody comes, all you got to do is pull it out of the fridge and reheat it.
Right. Exactly. Makes it a lot simpler. And I've got a mashed potato casserole in there, too, that is really good, that can be made ahead and frozen or refrigerated. And it, if you're taking something, say, to a party, that's a good one. You know, I can't remember what page it's on, but it's a mashed potato casserole. And that goes well then with almost any other kind, let's say a beef casserole or whatever else you're making, you know. And especially if it's on a buffet thing for it with everyone bringing something, you know.
Yeah, and you actually talk about that in the book, as a matter of fact, when you have everybody brings a dish to pass, which is pretty common in the Midwest.
It is. And, you know, I don't know how you feel, but it seems in the last few years we've all been asleep. And we haven't done much of that, so we have to be reminded. You know, don't you feel a little bit like Rip Van Winkle waking up after a 3 years sleep?
Get people back together.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Bob and Eau Claire, we'll go to you. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Larry. Talking about casseroles, this is a joke. It ends up with a casserole. It's three little boys are in school, and they're talking about their specific religious items that they bring. And a Jewish boy says, well, this is my prayer shawl. We take and put these on when we're praying in the temple. And then a Muslim boy comes in and he says, well, this is my prayer rug. We bow down to Allah three times every day and we pray to him. And then the next kid is, he's a Pentecostal. And he said, well, this is our casserole dish that we use every Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, to the casserole.
I bet you've heard a few casserole jokes in your day, Beatrice.
Oh yeah, sure. I'm trying to remember them, but I'm I'm at the point where I forget things so easily.
Oh, that's a good one, Bob. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate
it. That's very cute. Yeah.
Regan in Madison, we'll go to you next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for having me on. I just wanted to make a comment that a couple of years ago for Thanksgiving, I made three different casseroles, of which I, you know, liked the ingredients, especially the Gruyere cheese, but it ended up tasting all the same. And the, you know, the other ingredients were different, but it still ended up tasting almost the same. And I was really disappointed because I've been so insistent about these three casseroles. But
well, what three casseroles were they?
So there was one with cauliflower. There was one with broccoli, and there was one with Brussels sprouts.
They're all cabbages.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Oh, I love that story, Reagan. Thank you very much for telling us about it.
That's funny. I think one could put together a book of casserole disasters, too.
Oh, you can join in, too, by the way. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Or if you'd like, you could email us. The email address, ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Somebody else wondered about that. You know, we talked about that Burgundy beef hot dish. Can you lay out sort of the basics of it? It's in your book, of course, but you can lay out some of the basics of that, because that sounded good.
You're asking me to do that?
Well, yeah, you don't have to give me the exact ingredients. I remember it was on page 228 in your book.
228? Okay, I'll look it up.
That's a good thing about this show. We're kind of laid back, and we do our best to try and get the information across, and here we are with Burgundy beef.
Okay. You can make this a day ahead and reheat before serving, and the flavor will improve. That's true. And, you know, a lot of times if I look at something and I say, oh, man, that's going to be a lot of work, you can do the cutting and the chopping early, like the day before that even, mm-hmm. you know. And I didn't say that, but then you just go ahead and you can, as long as your ingredients are all ready to go, cut up or chopped or whatever, like the day before if you want to. It's so easy to put it all together because then you've got them at your fingertips. But if you stop and you're going to start, you know, you're going to start making it, and then you go digging for the bacon and go digging for the beef and then go digging for a knife, you know.
Find a bottle of Burgundy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, got to run to the store for that one. Yeah, no. The chefs have something they call the mise en place. They get everything ready. It's like a show, and you just lay everything out, and it's real, real simple, and it goes quickly if you do your homework ahead of time. You know, clean the mushrooms early.
You know what bothers me? I have a dish, a casserole dish that is the size of it is 7.5 by 11.
Uh-huh.
And every stupid recipe I look at says 8 by 12.
Oh. Well,
you solved that problem though in your book. By giving us amounts rather than the exact sizes of the dish.
Yeah, well, that's important too. Yeah, you want to, you know, like usually a 9 by 13 inch dish holds 3 quarts. And, you know, you go down from there, 2 quarts or 1 quart, a little bit depends on how deep it is too. So you got to use a little bit of judgment. I don't care what you're doing.
Well, and I like the idea when you talk about the actual dishes that the food will be in, and you can say you can, and as you say, you can use a whole variety. You don't have to just stick with the sort of rectangular ones.
Oh, of course, yeah, no, of course. And when you're, you know, I've always did this when I was traveling. I'd pick up something that I think would look good on a table. And I just want to be sure that it is something that can be heated, you know. And so, you use what you have and what's kind of fun because it looks pretty and everything. But, you know, I'm sort of stuck in a funny spot right now because I had all these beautiful dishes. And then in 2018, we sold the place we lived for 41 years, and we're now living in an apartment.
Oh.
And so I've had to readjust everything because I don't have enough room to store all those dishes. So I gave them away, and now I just have a very basic bunch, you know. And it's a lot of adjustments. You make adjustments with life, and I understand that's what everyone else has to do, too. So,
well, I know what you mean. I lost a few of my dishes, and I I keep thinking, I got to go out and buy a 9x13.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to have that one.
Yeah, 9x13 is pretty standard.
Yeah, and it's the only one I don't have, I think, or one of the few that I don't have, and I want to get it.
Yeah.
Tyrone in Milwaukee will give you a chance. Hi, Tyrone.
Yes, sir. Good morning, my friend. Late morning, early afternoon, Larry, my friend Claire, everyone in the sound of my voice, Wisconsin and around the world. Once again, a wonderful harvest season and a great holiday season to everyone. Well, you know, Larry, I tell you, Jill, I thought she had you there for. I thought we were April Fools there, but no, she between Dolores and Claire. They kind of tough to pull one over on Larry. But anyway, Clara and everyone listening, the casseroles, they're not basically confined to just the oven. Because at this time of year, of course, soups, stews, and how far down the line do you have to go before a casserole becomes a gumbo? Or vice versa, then.
So. Okay, Tyrone. Well, what do you think, Beatrice?
How does a casserole become a gumbo? Well, you know, I've had that happen. Yeah, it's a lot of that is in definition. You know, a gumbo can be a casserole. And, you know, it depends on where you are in the world. And if you're down in New Orleans, I mean, everything's almost a gumbo, or you cooks it till he bees done, they said, you know, and a lot of times that means that it gets pretty thick. I've had pasta casseroles that, you know, cooking, or actually start out as a soup, and then you kind of let it cook too long, and it ends up being a gumbo.
Well, you have so many sections in your book. We should quickly go through what the sections are that you have, Beatrice.
There's about 19 chapters, and there's, you know, you start out with the basic basic sauces, and then you go on, and there's beef, and there's about 19 categories,
mm-hmm.
and all the different types of meat that you can use, and poultry that you can use, grains and legumes. You know, there's some great casseroles there, vulgar baked with raisins and cranberries, and cracked wheat and mushrooms and wild rice, and then the fish puddings. Tuna hot dishes. Hey, everyone knows those.
and
vegetables and even desserts. There's pastas and desserts and casseroles for crowds, casseroles for two, casseroles that are especially for kids. That to me was the toughest one to work on because kids are real picky, you know.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but that. And then a lot of them are casseroles that I gathered from traveling. And you realize that, a casserole can reflect the country, a dish from a country, too, like Greek or Greece or French and desserts. So
Yeah, there's... pretty much everything. One of the things I saw when it comes to the meat side of it, you know, here we are, it's deer hunting season, or at least the bow season for deer, and Wisconsin's going on, I'm sure it is in Minnesota as well, the gun deer season coming up. And people are always wondering, what am I going to do with all the venison? And you've got some nice venison recipes.
There's really good venison recipes in here. I'm trying to figure out where I put them.
Well, I tell you, the venison, you were talking about trying different things. One of the ones that struck my fancy was the venison strips in a Korean...
marinade. Oh, that one is so good. I've had people rave about that one.
And the venison stew, and you've got venison slow baked in red wine. You've got a wild rice venison casserole with cranberries. All of those are going to take A lot of people are going to want those recipes, I can tell you that. And the one that I did want to bring up, and thanks a lot for allowing us to reprint one. You've got Thanksgiving in a casserole.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was one of my fun ones that actually dates back to some French cooking classes that I took, and all the different layers in that Thanksgiving in a casserole are the different things that you have on a Thanksgiving menu. So there's
turkey pate for one thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And let me see if I can find it here. Yeah. Thanksgiving in a casserole. What page is that on? It's been a while since I've looked at my own book.
That one, I'm there's a turkey pate. There's the turkey itself. There's a stuffing. And there's cranberries, and those are all layered in the casserole.
Right, and it's kind of, it's kind of inspired by the terrines that they make in Europe, and I think that's why they probably make their terrines, because they can use a lot of things that they have on hand and put them all in one dish, you know. So it's the other side of the coin when it comes to casseroles.
Well, I tell you what, that Thanksgiving in a casserole, pages, now I see it, pages 15, right. 516 and 17.
Yeah.
That particular recipe, we've got that up on our page. So if you go to ideas at WPR.org/Larry and go to today's date, you're going to find that recipe. It's posted on our Larry Mueller Show page.
Good. And that's absolutely delicious. I mean, that's one that you can serve cold, too. It's real pretty, because when you cut it into pieces, you have these nice layers in there.
Yeah, it's got to look really, really nice.
Very attractive. It is.
Let's take another call. Louise in Dodgeville will give you a chance. Hi, Louise.
Hi, good morning. So happy and proud to be a Midwesterner and listen to this conversation. But I was wondering if the guest could go back a few steps and talk about that beef casserole. It sounded really interesting, and I think the ingredients, just briefly, if you could list the ingredients.
Sure.
Okay, let me see if I can find it.
Yeah, it's on page 225. I know there's small white onions. There's a half a dozen slices of bacon. There's boneless beef chuck, 4 pounds,
wow,
cut into, inch and a half cubes. You got some brandy, quarter cup. You've got some salt and pepper. You've got 2 cups of burgundy wine to go along with the brandy. A couple of cloves of garlic. You got a pound of mushrooms. You got a couple sprigs of fresh parsley, some chopped parsley for garnish. You've got sort of a leafy top from a celery stalk and a carrot. You got a bay leaf, thyme, and some cornstarch and cold water.
Sounds like a lot of ingredients, but many of these are just simply for the additional flavor that it will add to the total dish in the end.
Yeah, it's I tell you, it really sounds good. And it's one that, again, you can make this a day ahead and reheat it before you serve it. And the flavor gets better when it's
when you let it sit overnight. Yeah.
So, Louise, those are the kind of the basics of it, Louise. Maybe grab a copy of the book and take a look at it. I think you would really like it. So this is there are so many recipes we could talk about. Here we are starting to run out of time a little bit. I've still got green tomatoes sitting outside on a table, my picnic table, as a matter of fact. And on page 575 of your book, you made a cobbler out of green.
Yeah. You know, green tomatoes can be a delicious dessert. So I'm looking up the recipe here now so I can 575.
It's
trying to do this with one.
You know, and you don't, it's just kind of, as you say, it's a kind of a short window of time when those green tomatoes are on your countertop and they turn red or they rot, basically.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And they, you know, you can fry them or bread them, bake them, but you've got a cobbler.
Yep. And a green tomato is a fruit, and a fruit makes a perfect cobbler, so...
There's raisins and cinnamon you got in there.
Raisins and cloves and nutmeg and almonds, and it's just very delicious if you're lucky enough to have some green tomatoes.
Well, I've got to look and see how many green tomatoes you need. Let's see.
Four cups
of chopped green tomatoes. I probably got just enough.
Yeah. Well, if you don't have enough, you can always chop in some apples.
Oh, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
That's the beauty of casseroles, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
You can add whatever you darn well please. And, oh, by the way, Elise emailed, on a food safety perspective, all raw ingredients going into a dish to bake, you typically, if you're going to, she worries about raw meat. And perhaps and some veggies. What do you do?
You've got to be sure and keep the cold foods cold and the warm foods warm. I mean, cold foods cold, they have to be cold, you know. And if you're going to put together raw vegetables and raw meat, well, you've got to be sure that they're cold to start with and in the end, because bacteria will, they double. They don't multiply, they double. And, you know, when things double, it goes real big, real fast, you know?
Yeah.
So you've got to just be careful, you know, and wash your hands, use clean surfaces,
yeah.
clean utensils, and you'll be okay. You know?
Yeah. Well, on that note, we are out of time, Beatrice. It's been a lot of fun talking with you. I'm sorry we got off to a late start with you here, but I'm really enjoying your book, and I'm going to make that cobbler. I've got the venison recipes in mind already,
oh, yeah.
And I'm definitely
oh, yeah. good.
I'm definitely serving that Burgundy recipe.
That's delicious.
With a party that I will have and sooner than later. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you so much for calling me. And it's always fun to talk food, isn't it?
It is indeed. Beatrice Ojakingas, our guest today, and her book, it's titled The Best Casserole Cookbook Ever. And I think it might be. Not only from Beatrice, but from a lot of people's perspectives. Well, what you eat can impact our climate. At least that's according to some research from our next guest, and we'll talk with Claire Bassey next. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.